She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. And I'm so glad that you are listening and a part of Mrs. Green's World. My heartfelt thanks for you joining us today. This show is sponsored by the Go Green Conference New York City, and going to New York City we are. Some of the Mrs. Green team is going to travel to New York in just a couple of weeks, and we are so grateful for that. And we're grateful that the Go Green Conference team and what they're doing to make a difference with their conferences and raising awareness and their partnerships all over the country to spread the good green word. I am very excited to welcome our guest today, and I mean very excited. So everybody, please join me in welcoming Marissa Feinberg. Among her many accomplishments, Marissa is the co-founder of Green Spaces. Green Spaces is New York City's and Denver's go-to co-working space for some of the coolest companies changing the world today. I think Marissa is a true thought leader. I know she is an entrepreneur, a marketer, a publicist, a brand builder, and a much sought after public speaker. Needless to say, we are thrilled to have you with us today, Marissa, and welcome.
Thank you so much for the kind and amazing introduction. And I'm just so thrilled and honored to be here and so thankful that there is an outlet like Mrs. Green's World that is paying attention to some of these really pressing environmental issues and beyond. I couldn't be more excited to be here with you today.
Well, needless to say, that makes my day because you are a cool company making a difference. And let me do a shout out about one of our great partners and another cool company making a difference, Ecobella. You know, every week I add the segment to my show to hopefully inspire my listeners to for a call to action. Check them out for yourself. Why I am so proud to say this each week. Their products are natural, they're sustainably sourced, and most importantly, from my perspective, they work. If you're putting something on your skin, I encourage you, I implore you to make sure it's something good for your skin, good for your body, because everything gets absorbed. So it's about taking care of you. And it's really great to know that when you purchase your products from Ecobella, you don't have to worry about their products being tested on animals, and that should matter to all of us. This is a company you can trust. Please check them out at their website, www.ecobella.com. And from where I sit, it's really important to support companies like this for our own health and the health of the planet. Now, let's get this show started. I told Marissa when I called her up, I have about three pages of questions, and we only have an hour. So it's going to be all about you for about 59 minutes. And why don't we start at the beginning, what might be considered the beginning of your incredible green journey, and talk about Green Leaders Global, which is a group that you co-founded, and what is it and what inspired you to start that?
Sure. So roughly 5 or 6 years ago, I was working at a design house based out of Japan called Felicimo. And at the time, I would have considered myself a change agent within a larger organization. I was learning about a lot of sustainable design issues and launching a startup for them in the U.S. And a friend of mine who became my co-founder, Jenny Nevin, approached me and said that she was starting this group called Green Leaders. She wanted to organize salon-style events and convene local leaders for the sake of dialogue and potential collaboration. So we started by having dinners, cocktail hours, not with more than 75 people, some as small and intimate as 10 people. And what happened was, between the talks that were inspired by leaders, I mean, we brought in really amazing speakers like Fabian Cousteau and interviewed him about his new organization, Plant a Fish. We brought in Wendy Brower, who's been doing work in the sector for 30 years in New York City, who founded Green Map System. we brought in Graham Hill, who started Tree Hugger and Life Edited. And when we would all come together, such amazing collaboration started to bubble on their own without a lot of steering from us. People loved meeting each other. They loved connecting in this very intimate setting. And we thought, look what happens when we get together every other month or so. Imagine what could happen if we all work from the same space every day.
So let me ask you this, to just press pause here for a second. When you say you invited people, how did you have the connections, excuse me, in order to get the caliber of people, the starter, the founder of Tree Hugger, look at Tree Hugger, its impact and scope? How did you do it? I mean, I have a radio show and we have to line guests up for months at a time. Did you have great connections that you just activated?
That's interesting. We started small. You know, our first dinner was at the Cleaver Company, which is Mary Cleaver's organization. She's one of the founders of the Farm to Table movement. You know,
right.
We just brought 10 people, some that we knew. We just invited people we knew to come to dinner, and things grew from there. People invited more people and guests. We started to seek out these connections. We attended Green Drinks, which is started by Margaret Leidecker in New York
right.
City. And that
Love Green a, Drinks.
A lot of people in the green sector, and that's where we met Graham Hill. So we would just go out and get to know people and invite them. And that's really all that we did. And, you know, we found that at this time, people just appreciated and wanted to connect with one another and wanted to connect with fellow leaders and share stories. And they knew that we were these young entrepreneurs and we didn't have money for speaker fees. And we just wanted to get people together and started with that true intention.
And build relationships in a totally new paradigm thinking. It wasn't a workshop or a conference or a presentation. I like the idea of you said salon series. And that seems to be something that excites people. It's change. It's different.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, I think salons are valuable in that we would have them be more geared around having people meet each other. But of course, you want inspiring content that also attracts people that should be in the room. So we found that shorter presentations combined with, you know, people having the opportunity to engage before and after the quick talk, so to speak, that really provided a very good setting for these connections and inspiration for collaboration.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was going to say conferences are really wonderful, but sometimes they can be very time consuming and you might be in from out of town. And we wanted to create more of like a miniature conference series right in our own neighborhood.
And even companies like Microsoft, I mean, some of the really big dogs are using the model of open space to have their learning experiences shared. So it's just a green space. Love that, of course. So how did that lead, you know, having the Global Leaderships series, how did that lead to the founding of you and your partner for Green Spaces? And tell us about that and how it works, how it evolved.
Sure. So I stayed at my full-time job in sustainable design for some time. Jenny Nevin, my co-founder, she really decided to be the first one to take the leap. And she left her finance job and left Wall Street and said, I'm going to go for this full speed. So through our group, we had met a landlord in Brooklyn who was willing to work with us. And he said, just pay me a portion of the desks that you fill. So I was very new to the startup world. And only now do I really appreciate what an amazing opportunity that was to be able to start on a shoestring with little to no overhead and have someone who's willing to work with you and support the business as you're growing. You know, if we wanted to go out and raise money at that time, I think it would have been really tough never having tried the business before and trying something totally new. But we were able to open right away and start with little to no risk. And so with that, Jenny was able to build the business. I helped to promote the business while I was still at my full-time job when I had time. It was kind of a funny story. When we first decided we would launch Green Spaces, neither of us really knew what we were getting into. We were very excited about the idea, but I don't think we had any idea how much energy and effort it would take to pull off. So we thought, okay, you know, we can do this.
The
we
story of an entrepreneur. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Start it on the side. It'll be fine. It'll be easy, you know. And so what happened was, me and my PR background, I put a press release together all about the idea, saying that we were opening a new shared workspace for green entrepreneurs in Brooklyn, put it out on the web. When I had time, I would email editors at night. And all of a sudden, everyone was posting the press release. And all of a sudden, we were getting phone calls. So where is the space? And this was even before we found a landlord. And so I would just take notes and write down people's names and say, okay, this is what you're interested in. Oh, where is it? It's going to be in Brooklyn. We'll schedule a tour with you very soon. And that's just how it started, just sort of by taking a big leap. And then we were like, gosh, well, I guess we need to find a space now that we have people who want to sign up.
So it was really the reverse of build it and they will come. They started coming,
yeah.
And then you had to build it. That is a
exactly.
Great twist on this, Marissa. I love it. What about,
yeah.
You, oh my God, that's like press pause here and have a chance for a chuckle.
Because, you can still find that press release on the web. Like even Joel McElroy and Greenbuzz posted it, that we were opening the space.
I find lots of things, lots of guests for my show from Joel. He was the first one to put up about Yertle. And believe me when I say we were one of the first people to interview them. And then look what's happened with Yertle, which is, I don't want to get off topic. I want to talk about you and green spaces and all everything you're doing. So let's talk about sustainability. I think it's such a vast subject, but you successfully delve into it, engage people at what I would call sustainability being an inside job. From what you've experienced so far, are most people happy at their job? This is like a three-part question, but I know you can handle it because you're the big multitasker. I don't think that most people are happy in their jobs. I would assume that you have found people are happy in green spaces. And talk about that and why you think that is.
Sure. So most people, I found that there's the main reason people are happy here at Green Spaces, and most of them definitely are, is, you know, for one, if you're going to leave the luxury of a full-time job and start something new, you really have the opportunity to design your own everyday life and your own new career and using bits and pieces of what you've been passionate about. So for one, having the choice to come somewhere every day is a big deal, because most people, when they go to their job, yeah, of course they chose to interview at a company and they chose that job, but I don't know if that many people, if the majority of people in the corporate world are happy. And I know the most recent Gallup poll about the state of the American workplace shows that that most people are disengaged in what they're doing. So for one, we have people who are engaged because they chose what they're doing and they are here. So that's the biggest piece. The next big piece is that when people are doing something good, whether they are contributing to the environment or other values of our world and things that make society better, from health, poverty, to helping people who are poor, to helping make politics better, people feel good. When you do good, you feel good. And so we have a demographic of people here who feel good and who are also doing something good with the power of choice.
And is there in terms of the types of jobs that people do or their entrepreneurial mission, do you vet them? Does it have to be something that's related to sustainability for it to work and be called green spaces? Or is it really just an opportunity for an entrepreneur to share space with other entrepreneurs?
So right now, 75% of our membership falls into the category that does directly align with our values. They are in sustainability, they are helping the environment. They are a nonprofit that focuses on a very important issue. They are a social enterprise who is helping the world in some way. You know, and all of our members are listed on our greenspaceshome.com/NY members. So I'd say that 75% of them fall directly into that category that you're asking about. And the other 25%, I like to say, is the people and the demographic that we have that we can convert. People who come into our space and they compost their lunch, they're using our eco-friendly printer. By joining our space, they feel good about their business operations. They like being around a values-oriented workplace and being included in that community. And by nature of the sharing aspect of our space, when you join our space, you're sharing an environment. There are no private offices. You're sharing the kitchen and a conference room and a stapler and a paper cutter. And you need to exercise a lot of values and manners with the way that you relate to others and respect one another. And that's practicing good person-to-person values in the workplace.
And that is, so it's kind of contagious for the other 25%. And that's, I mean, what a great great mix. They're the, what I call the aspirationals and probably doing good things for the planet with their entrepreneurial ideas as well. I want to quote you from one of your recent blogs and ask you a question about what you wrote. We all want a few universal things. We want to make an impact on the world. We want to master what we do and strive for excellence. However, that's really hard if we're not on the right path and our job doesn't bring us to life. So my question for you, the first question is, do you really believe that most people want to make an impact on the world? You have a lot of intersections of people and exposure. Is that something that you believe most people really do want to make a difference?
I believe when people are at their best, that they are in that state. I wrote that article about a wonderful new organization called Live in the Gray. It's a new online platform that gathers people who are what the founders call all living in the gray. These are people who have found a lot of satisfaction and joy in what they do, and they blend what they call work and play. So when I was writing that article for Forbes, I was looking at how, when I look at back at my journey, it was such an evolution over time, and I think it'll never end. I think none of us really ever stop looking and dreaming and wanting to be better. I think that when we are feeling our best emotionally, healthfully, when we are doing what we want, we are going to strive for excellence. We are going to strive for mastery. I think it's been studied that most organisms, when they're balanced and feeling good, do strive for mastery. And what is better than to make an impact on the world and to make the world better? I think that there's a lot that can get in the way of people feeling their best, from how they were raised. You know, when I was raised, I didn't always have a wonderful environment around me that was free of anxiety. I had to learn to be happy and learn to let anxiety fall to the wayside and learn to focus. I had some trouble learning growing up, but I think as we all grow up and we all become who we're meant to be, as much as we try, we will get there.
And the magical piece to me in what you said is that there are some days when I look up and it's dark and the day has gone by and I'm filled with joy and satisfaction and it doesn't feel like work. And there are people that have jobs that I believe can help create that same spirit of, I don't have a job, I have a mission, or I do what I love, I'm living my bliss. So I love that. And it's a perfect segue for my next question, which you shared a little bit of. You are successful in getting people to develop relationships, from gathering leaders in the community to bringing up important green issues. How important do you think it is to be willing to share your own personal journey and being transparent about the pieces that went into your building, your models for success, your continually successful models for success? How much of you, Marissa, do you have to put in that to help it grow?
Oh, well, it has taken a lot of courage, but I believe I need to put all of it out there. So many people who've helped me throughout my journey have given me so much of them. So I feel like it can only help others to be fully transparent about where I am, where my business is at, what has helped me along the way, different mentors, coaches, studies, research, different ways of growth. You know, I think that that's absolutely important. And at times I become very shy because, you know, as people and as women, we're taught to be very modest. We're taught to look into ourselves. We're not always taught to celebrate our achievements and celebrate what we've been able to do. I'm much more comfortable championing the people who are at Green Spaces and the people in our community and talking about them and what they've done. It's taken me a long time to learn to open up and share my own story with others. What actually helped me a lot recently, we had an author come to Green Spaces named Kathy Brodesser-Ackner, and she is a personal essay author. And I always expressed to her how I became shy about sharing my own story. And she said, when you share your story, there's no need to be shy, because when people read it, they're really just looking for themselves.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I love that. I'll play that back when I listen to this podcast. People really do want to know. I can tell you from my experience, they want to know about Mrs. Green. I can put really important things up on Facebook, but when I share part of my personal journey or my challenge, it seems to me there's so much more interaction. So I told you, I promised you and I warned you that time would fly. We are coming up on our first break. And when we come back,
I was right.
I'd really like to talk to you. We really have to talk about the Go Green Conference in New York. You are a featured speaker. A little bit about how that conference makes an impact, how we're going to get inspired and connected. Please, everybody, stay here with me. I'm sure you'll want to. We're talking to Marissa Feinberg, founder of Green Spaces. Stay here with me.
University of Arizona professor John Pollard asked the students in the Posada San Pedro Hall to consider bringing solar energy to the dorm. Just 3 years later, the Solar Cats, a group of students who took up the cause, have installed 44 solar panels on the dorm, saving 20,000 kilowatt hours of energy and reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 14 metric tons every year. Talk about students with a sunny future. The University of Arizona, big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
It's got advanced technology. It's got major breakthroughs in technology everywhere you look. It's the 2013 Honda Accord. Hi there, this is Mrs. Green, and I want to share with you that after nearly 40 years of heritage, this is the most stunning Accord ever. The highly respected Automotive Magazine raves that the 2013 Honda Accord offers unparalleled talent of goodness. Please visit Chapman Honda at 4646 East 22nd Street in Tucson to check it out and see for yourself.
You know how they say your donation to Goodwill changes lives?
Well, it's true.
It's true.
Well, it's true.
Goodwill.
Goodwill gave my son a chance.
My mom, hope.
My brother, a sense of purpose.
And help my dad find a job.
Goodwill helps thousands of people.
People like us every year.
People like us.
Every year. Your donations to Goodwill do change lives. Please donate today.
Go deep underwater without getting wet. Study bugs like a real scientist. Make your shadow move in colors. These are just three reasons to visit the exciting hands-on new exhibits at the Children's Museum Tucson, the region's only museum just for kids. For 25 years, we've ignited kids' imaginations at the Children's Museum Tucson. That's something to celebrate. And admission is only $2 on the first Sunday and on the 25th of each month this whole year. Children's Museum Tucson, where imagination and learning connect.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining me. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And again, thanks so much for being a part of my world. Thank you, Marissa Feinberg, for joining me for this hour. Marissa is the co-founder of Green Spaces in New York City and Denver. And Green Spaces, I love to say this, is the go-to co-working space for some of the coolest companies changing the world. And maybe someday Mrs. Green's world will be right there sitting at the table. Marissa is truly a thought leader, an entrepreneur, a marketer, a publicist, a brand builder, and I want to add, she is a game changer, and I am thrilled to be learning all about this incredibly fascinating woman. Thank you, Marissa. Let's talk about Go Green New York City. What an honor to be one of the featured speakers. I'm sure that was a vetting process on their part. So tell us a little bit about why you are interested in the Go Green Conference concept and how it helps move your mission forward of sustainability.
Sure, absolutely. And thank you again for that amazing introduction. I'm just so thrilled and honored that you chose me for your show. So thank
you deserve
so much.
It. That's how I feel. It's like this. Okay. I told you off. Of all the people that Go Green and I could have picked for the show, they picked the winner for me. And that's how I felt. And there's my transparency.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. Amazing. So Go Green Conference approached me this year. They are working across industry silos to foster this peer-to-peer learning and collaborative solutions. I thought it looked really fascinating. A lot of the speakers, either I know or I admire, they've gotten together some really wonderful local organizations in support of this initiative. And then having that Go Green focus is so important because I think we've seen the Go Green revolution start about 6 years ago, and it's important to carry it forward and to never stop championing that and to always engage people who want to go green and who want to learn about these issues and to convene the people who've been helping this come to fruition. You know, I know there's been so much visibility. People have said, oh, green is the new black. And, you know, I understand that visibility is very important, and it has been so much more amazing than ever before, but we still have so far to go.
We have so far to go. And it's so funny because the Go Green Conference series, the first one I went to was last December. And here you go. I told you that I believe Mrs. Green's World is creating a movement and a global community of people who care. And I'm coming to New York with some of my team who happen to also be my daughters, very excited to be coming to New York. But it's because of the connections I made in Phoenix, just 120 miles up the road, that ignited a series of wonderful things for the expansion of Mrs. Green's World. So can you give us a little sneak preview about what you will be presenting about at the conference?
Sure, absolutely. I'm going to be in a section speaking about that includes innovators and entrepreneurs about the next iteration of responsible business. So we are people who have, you know, either launched during or survived the sustainability boom or launched on its tailings. And we're going to talk about the future and what we've seen in terms of, you know, how entrepreneurs are redefining technology, communications, business models, and collaboration to grow successful ventures. So a lot of us who have started at the time of that boom, we've seen so many different people and organizations start. We've seen some continue. We've seen some pivot. We've seen an entire evolution of social enterprise. And now it's time to see what's going to be next. And I'm sure we'll talk about a lot of the very hot trends right now, like the sharing economy. We'll talk about technology. We'll talk about, you know, where the industry is going and the entire new wave of young entrepreneurs who are really driving this change.
And who are excited about the sustainability piece from what I see. The younger people really do care and they really do get it. They don't have as many old bad habits to change from where I sit, having some older bad habits myself, but it does give me such hope for the future. And in terms of redefining technology, it's one of those things where maybe I want to know and maybe I don't want to know because it's changing so rapidly. One of the things that they did use in the write-up is, you mentioned it, is to survive the sustainability boom. I wasn't quite sure I knew what that meant. What does that mean to you, having survived the sustainability boom or, they said, launched on its tailing? So what's your interpretation of surviving the sustainability boom? That puzzled me a little bit.
Sure. To me, it means in, say, there was a lot of huge momentum that started to happen when we first launched Green Spaces in 2008. You know, the Go Green Expo had just come to New York City, I think right around that time. It drove a lot of awareness about Go Green initiatives in New York and beyond. There was, it was happening at the same time as a lot of media coverage. Tree Hugger built up really huge momentum and awareness. All of a sudden, we had a wave of people coming off of what happened with Hurricane Katrina and some recent devastating events. And we had a lot of people who lost their jobs on Wall Street. All of a sudden, we had this surge of people who wanted to change. They wanted to change themselves. They wanted to change their industry. They wanted to do something better. And a lot of their energy went into making things clean and green. And green was the new black. And it will always be in my mind and in my heart. But what started to happen was a lot of the huge momentum led to some policy changes with Obama, with Solyndra. And a lot of clean tech companies got a lot of first rounds and second rounds of funding. And there was a huge clean tech boom. And there still is. People didn't see these incredibly 10x fast gains like they expected right away. And, you know, Solyndra was not a big success. I think it hurt a lot of the momentum going into green. And that became hard on our industry. You know, the economy did not recover quite as fast as we had expected. So all of a sudden, all of these new companies that had new products and things to buy, the economy couldn't necessarily receive and consumers couldn't open their wallets as much as they normally would have. So a lot of these green startups, not all of them survived this big new wave that people really thought would be much bigger than it is right now. It's still been incredible, but I think we still haven't seen the gains that are to come that we hope for the future. So, you know, in my mind, it's only been in the past couple of years that our economy has really started to recover from where we were in 2009. And a lot of people who maybe lost some of their momentum or their hope, we now have a new generation who is young and they're very idealistic. They're very excited. They're very on the pulse of tech. They're on the brink of change. They can feel our global change. They're very, you know, engaged in what President Obama is doing. They're very engaged in politics. They transformed and it came into their own era of knowing where the world is going. You know, I have a friend in business school who said that, you know, when the Wall Street collapse started to happen and her business school classmates realized they couldn't just get degrees and go get Wall Street jobs. They started to be really creative and think, well, what can I do instead? And she realized the room had really interesting people who before she just had sort of pegged in her mind as finance people. So I think we're seeing a generation of new values, a generation that looks to their friends for inspiration on Facebook and Twitter, that ignores a lot of the conventional propaganda and conventional advertising and really does what it wants on its own.
And it's, and there's such a world of transparency out there, which is really works in the favor of sustainability, because you can't just, the whole issue of greenwashing is almost cliche at this point, because if you're putting that out, you're going to get called out by someone who's watching. And the younger people really do see us as a global community. It's a planet. It's not a geographic boundary. And that gives me hope. Excuse me.
Exactly.
One of the things that just speaks to that is I had on my show Haley Thomas, who a couple of weeks ago, it's why, you know, I went to the White House, but she's 12 years old, Marissa, and she is all about the person, the embodiment of what you're talking about. And she's about healthy eating and teaching other kids to eat healthy and about organic. And she's 12 years old and she held her own on this show for 1 hour. I mean, it's
amazing.
I know. When she walked out, we looked at each other and said, yeah, we have a lot of hope for the future. In terms of the Go Green Conference, is there an importance from your experience in partnering with two big, huge groups? One is government and one is big business, because places like Whole Foods, for example, they can move the green needle forward by just buying locally produced organic products. I mean, they are big game changers. From where you sit and all of the intersections you've had, where do you place the importance and value of partnering with government and big business?
Oh, I think it's absolutely crucial. It's actually something that I've been trying to improve upon myself personally with green spaces, really focusing on a stronger collaboration. You know, I think that government incentives can really drive corporate changes, and I think it's really important. And I think it's really important for the business sectors from, you know, social enterprise where I am to big business like Whole Foods to really talk to the government as much as possible and see how we can be the best possible collaborators for one another. I know Whole Foods has done an incredible job with that. You know, John Mackey is very active. Whole Foods also is extremely active in the community. If, you know, we're doing an event, we give them enough time. A lot of times they'll sponsor the food for it. I think that they've been an amazing way to show how a company with these really good intentions for the planet can enter the mainstream. And I think the mainstream is the biggest opportunity for change. So Whole Foods is actually, you know, one of the most spectacular examples. Whole Foods, Seventh Generation, there's a lot out there that's doing a really incredible work. So I think that the fact that, you know, the city has organized this conference, bring together leaders, and, you know, the city that, you know, really has honored for quite some time now, Mike Bloomberg's Green Dreams, I mean, it has come leaps and bounds in how, you know, a city can be transformed and be more environmentally aware. And, you know, Mike Bloomberg, Dennis Staff, we've got the city bikes, and, you know, now we're on to the next topic. Now it's about composting this week. And, you know, these things are never going to stop being really great, important issues for our future. And so I think it's really important for the dialogue to convene everyone, especially at this time where there's a very tight race right now with mayoral candidates in a lot of different directions where our city could go. And so I really hope this dialogue will contribute to the future.
And I hope green will be a defining issue in almost every election that we have for the rest of our lives. You know, I was, my first job was at 14 Wall Street. I'm a Jersey girl. And in this long time that I feel I've been on the planet learning and absorbing, to me, Washington, D.C. is the heart of government and policy. And New York City, no matter where I've traveled around the world, New York City is the heart of big business and therefore capable of such big accomplishments and change. So it's exciting that there is a Go Green conference in New York, and exciting that people like you are getting to be a featured speaker to talk about the things that we all need to hear. I will certainly be there to get inspired and get connected. And everybody who's listening, it's you know, if it's in your realm of possibility, if you're in the New York metropolitan area, it's September 26th. It's at CUNY, New York. There are many campuses, but all you have to do is go to Go Green New York City, NYC 2013, and you'll get excited about it too. So I think that's really, really important. As a panel, is it going to be as a panel? Because I'm always interested in the coordination of effort, because I believe what you have to say is so important. Is there a process where you have shared information with the other panelists, or is it just like a lot of conferences where you have an area of expertise and recognition and you'll be sharing that piece, so we'll get to absorb it from the other speakers?
I'm not quite sure what the process is going to be yet. I was brought into this conference a few months ago, and we're just starting, I think, to coordinate a little more closely with the Go Green NYC conference. I'm sure there will hopefully be some previous discussion about how the panel will go and to make us gel as an interactive panel, but I'm not quite sure how that's going to work.
And like I said, I've been to them and I've read about some of their other ones. They really know what they're doing, and it'll be absolutely and positively wonderful. That's what I am sure about. So there's a part of me, when you talked about the sharing of green spaces, and let's go back to that. I had a guest on my show, Bruce Wright from the University of Arizona. I've done the pre-record, and they have what I would call like an incubator program for, it's in the science and technology and the biotech arena, when you were talking, I was thinking about green spaces as an incubator for green businesses. Do you have an example of some businesses that shared a green space and went on to maybe have their own green LEED certified building, or some, you know, a couple of few anecdotal stories of people that have shared the space?
Sure. Well, one of the exciting success stories we have this year was carpooling.com. Carpooling.com is based out of Europe. It is exactly what it sounds like. It is a ride-sharing initiative, part of, you know, the new wave of sharing the economy rock stars. You can learn more about them at carpooling.com, and they were a huge, huge hit in Europe. So one of our Green Spaces members, her name is Odile Benisla, she's French. She was hired by carpooling.com to lead and head up the expansion of carpooling.com to the United States. So she came here not knowing anybody. She joined Green Spaces. She started taking advantage of a lot of our events. Because I have a background as a publicist, at the time I was organizing some Meet the Press events. So she met reporters here from Fast Company, from Good, from NPR and WNYC, and she made some good industry connections. I also teach a do-it-yourself PR for startups class that she took. She and I also connected, and I did some private one-on-one coaching with her. And she also met some great board members here through our space. Jacqueline Ottman, who is a real green marketing guru.
The green marketing guru. She's my buddy.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be seeing her when I'm in New York.
She's amazing. I love it. I'm so happy to hear that.
We all love Jackie O.
Yeah, and so what ended up happening, I mean, oh, Jackie O's so phenomenal. I can't get over it. So what ended up happening was she had a really great launch.
Marissa, we have to take a break. This is what happens. I know. Ow.
All right.
It's unbelievable.
Okay,
we'll be right back.
Everybody stay. When we come back.
When we come back. Stay here with me.
All right. Sure.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Arizona time at MrsGreensWorld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Mrs. Green's World is a proud member of the Dream Vision 7 and Castle Rock Radio Networks. If you have questions about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. More Mrs. Green's World next.
Hi, I'm Abbott Taylor. With over 35 years creating jewelry in Tucson, no one has more experience in designing and making diamond jewelry in Tucson than Abbott Taylor Jewelers. Please come in and see some of the thousands of designs we have created, or come in and have us design something original just for you. Whether you're looking for a simple and stylish graduation gift, your engagement ring, or a breathtaking jewelry piece to celebrate an important birthday or anniversary, you can't beat our competitive diamond pricing. With 100% trade-up guaranteed, set in an Abbott Taylor jewelry design, always using earth-friendly recycled gold. Abbott Taylor Jewelers, exquisite jewelry designs and exceptional diamond deals created right here in Tucson for over 35 years. Abbott Taylor Jewelers at 6383 East Grant Road, on Facebook and on the web at atdiamonds.com. Diamond designs for everyone. Abbott Taylor Jewelers.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green. The 2013 VW Jetta TDI is the sedan people love to love. It comes with a zippy turbocharged diesel engine that's 90% cleaner burning than previous diesel engines, and it goes farther on a tank of gas than a Toyota Prius. Chapman Volkswagen has a great selection of Jetta TDIs, so choose yours today at ChapmanTucson.com or in person at 4646 East 22nd Street in Tucson.
At the University of Arizona, we're putting solar know-how to work. And it's not just our researchers. Our students are on the job as well. Our student solar racing team, using recycled solar cells from NASA, designed and built a car from scratch that gets the equivalent of over 3,000 miles per gallon. Talk about students who will go far. Really, really far. The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
Habitat for Humanity's Habitstar is changing the world. By selling new and used building and home improvement materials to the public, the Habit Store is diverting more than 250 tons from the landfill each year. To donate, call 520-889-7200. Stop by and shop today. The Habit Store is located at 935 West Grant Road. Proceeds from all the sales go to Habitat for Humanity Tucson. For more information, go to habitattucson.org or call 520-889-7200.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And we are so blessed to have Marissa Feinberg, who is giving us lots to think about. She is the co-founder of Green Spaces, and Green Spaces is New York City and Denver's go-to co-working space for some of the coolest companies changing the world. And I just get a big smile on my face saying that. That is among her many accomplishments, and you can check her out if you just Google Marissa Feinberg. Her name pops up everywhere. So Marissa, thanks for being with us again. And we were talking about some of your outstanding successes, carpooling, which is great. And we were doing the big green high five for our friend Jackie Ottman, the green marketing guru. We hate to waste.
Oh, my gosh. She's so amazing. Yes, we do hate to waste. And it's funny, she was just saying how she started that new initiative, which I think is wehatetowaste.com for people who are waste haters, because she realized she loved the environment because she hates to waste. So what a really great way to engage people, because everyone should be conscious of these issues.
And we love to call her Junkie Jackie. She loves
it. Oh, yes, she loves it. She absolutely loves it.
Junkie Jackie.
She is, yes. So wrapping up the carpooling.com story, so she really became, I mean, Odile is such a rock star. She really became so immersed in what was happening in New York. I mean, and she developed a relationship with Robin Chase, who had started Zipcar and Go Loco, and got mentioned in their TED Talk right away. So basically, Odile, you know, has single-handedly come here, taken advantage of the community, became very well-networked and well-versed, you know, took advantage of a lot of the PR coaching I did with her, got featured in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, a lot of these mainstream business blogs like Fast Company, and leveraged that momentum with the team in Europe, and they raised $10 million from Daimler. That was a huge success story. Absolutely. So we were really thrilled that that came out of what our programs are, because that hasn't been the focus. Our focus has been to create a really great place where these companies can come and support one another and grow and have the infrastructure that they need to get their work done and achieve these great things. So to be a part of that success more closely was really wonderful this year.
And let me tell you that I'm announcing it on air. I might have to become a commuter so that I can sit in the green spaces with all these great minds. It's like, oh my gosh, it does really and truly inspire me. So let's use the time that we have left to talk about what I honestly cannot believe you have done in your newest creation, and it's called Flockd, and I want to spell it for people. It's F-L-O-C-K-D. You are the embodiment of the entrepreneur who never is happy just with what you're doing that's impressive, but you're on to creating the next most wonderful thing. So talk about it. How does it work? What is it? Tell us about Flockd.
Sure, absolutely. And thank you so much for bringing the topic to this subject. So as Green Spaces, as the co-founder, I play connector. And so sometimes a few things happen. I get connector fatigue. People, you know, every day I'm making introductions for people, and I become very thoughtful with them. You know, when someone says that they need to connect someone with a particular person, whether it's a lawyer, whether it is a co-founder, or as simple as a graphic designer, I'm always thinking, who is the best possible person to connect them with based on, you know, the industry sectors that they're in, the fields that they specialize in, the personalities. I put a lot of thought into these curated connections, which we do for members here as a value add. And it pains me sometimes when, yes, of course, I can connect someone with someone else that I know, but that doesn't take advantage of who Gina next to me knows or who Sarah knows. And so I wanted these connections to be more open source. And I was thinking about ways to do it for quite some time, and it never really came to fruition. Recently, I was at the Youth Entrepreneurship Summit, which is sponsored by the Kauffman Foundation. I was in Kansas City, and I met the most amazing woman named Janice Kaye, who became my mentor and co-founder. And she was talking about also different ways for people to connect in open spaces. But she wanted a way for people to signal productivity. She was thinking of the Brazilian steakhouse method, where people, have you been to a Brazilian steakhouse?
I have not. I don't believe that there are any in Tucson. There might be in Phoenix, but I haven't. And even in my travels around the country this year.
Oh my gosh, it's the funniest thing. So these Brazilian steakhouses will come to your table and throughout the night be putting more and more meat on your dish and on your table. And they'll just come and keep bringing meat unless you signal stop. So they have a coaster, like what looks like a coaster, on every person's table. So one side is red and one side is green. Green means I want more meat. Red means no, I'm good. And they have these gigantic knives that they take the steak and then they put it on your dish with. And it's really funny to watch it. So we wanted a red light, green light sort of way to just for people to signal to each other. But something like a coaster can get lost on the desk, might not be so respected. And it also doesn't solve the way of communicating what you need and want and having a place to write it down and rewrite. So we came up with a shape of a pyramid, which is two pieces slid into one. If you go to flocked.com, you can see a picture right on the homepage.
Right, which I
when
did.
When it stands, absolutely. So when it's standing upright, that means you are open to connection. When it's on its side, if you tip it over, it's on an X side. That means you're busy. And so with that, you can already signal if you're free and if you're busy, which helps the productivity because we all interrupt each other throughout the day and it really interferes with productivity. But it's also made of whiteboard material. So you can write and rewrite on it anything you want to talk or what we say flock about. So if you need something, if you want a conversation starter, if you're in one of these shared co-working spaces and you want to just strike up a conversation about something like climate change or something as simple as football, you can just write it down. It has a dry erase marker. And we've really seen a nice change in the way that people connect by signaling to each other, by respecting these clear and healthy boundaries, and by, you know, not being afraid to write something interesting down or a request down and for other people to read that and respond. We only have a lot of technology-based ways to do this now. And a lot of times we get disconnected and from just looking up and across the room and seeing who's willing to help. So it's a low-tech venture that's really connecting people and bringing them together and making them more open to connect with one another and really helping them get more work done.
And it's brilliant. I mean, it's brilliant. I was doing my research. I'm sitting there and I'm saying, you've got to be kidding me. I've been flocked. That's how I feel. It's like I've gotten the bug and it's really good. It was just, and it's fun. I think that's such an important part of the saying yes to what we're doing. It's not heavy and dark and the world is coming to an end. It's got to be fun and filled with hope and creativity. And boy, have you nailed that one, kiddo. In terms of entrepreneurs, which I believe, and I'm sure you do, are so critical to the health of our nation and to our planet, sometimes I believe that PR is among the most challenging of pieces. What to do, how do you do it with limited time, and in many cases, money or resources to get the biggest ROI. How are you helping green entrepreneurs do just that? Because you are, clearly.
Absolutely. So my background has been in working with large organizations on getting the message out. A lot of them in the corporate social responsibility space or the nonprofit space. From the General Electric Foundation to the Nature Conservancy New York, Earth Day Network, Water for People, Felicimo Design House. And when I went into this entrepreneurship world 5 years ago, I took a lot of what I learned in the corporate space. I took my education, which was a degree in public relations from the Syracuse University Newhouse School of Public Communication. And I had everything in my back pocket. But what I didn't have was a method for communications for entrepreneurs, particularly social entrepreneurs who are communicating about their purpose and their cause and meaning and movement. And so what I did was I put together a workshop. I actually did it in about 10 minutes. I wrote an outline for a workshop for entrepreneurs called Do-It-Yourself PR for Startups, that I just wrote an outline from how to pitch a journalist, when to do it, how to structure a message. I put it up on Skillshare. I started teaching it frequently, and people really got something out of it. I started teaching it more often. I taught it at the Investor Circle Conference last year. I also teach it occasionally at Parsons and New School for Design and at the New York City Kauffman Fast Track Program. And I found recently that people who took my class are still using my outline that I did in 10 minutes to guide their work. So right now I'm working on putting together a Kindle single that can really help people take things a little bit further to the next level. And so that is going to be helping them drive change. But the other thing that the class does is it talks about purpose marketing. Because what I found is very powerful about communications for entrepreneurs in the social enterprise space is that they're really starting with what Simon Sinek calls starting with their why and their purpose and their meaning. And that makes their message powerful. So, you know, this technique of starting with why and having meaningful marketing messages can really help anybody. You know, someone who has a spot, for example, who might not consider themselves in this space. You are selling spa services. You're selling massages. You're selling perhaps oils and products as well as services. But what you're really selling is a relaxation experience and a way for people to escape the everyday life and enjoy their lives better and be happier. So a lot of people don't lead with these messages, but it's so important that they do. So part of my technique is teaching people how to do this purpose-oriented marketing and how to take their message and make it wonderful and meaningful and purposeful and make people be even more connected to what they're doing, feeling better about their work, and then having that show in their branding, marketing, PR, messaging, and storytelling to attract customers who are going to embrace this change that comes with their lives.
Marissa, it takes my breath away. It's kind of like I have to remember that I'm the host, and I'm thinking of the myriad of applications for Mrs. Green's World, because I do want to help create a global community of people who care, and I want to do that through connecting the big green dots. So I cannot wait for the Kindle version. I am sure that it will help us, and it's probably part of the reason why out of the long list of people that are presenting at the Go Green Conference, the universe aligned to support this connection. And I say that from my heart. It's going to be really exciting to help the Mrs. Green team build a bigger community and help create momentum for this movement of preservation of the planet, which you so obviously personify. So I'm really sad to say this, but we have time for about two more final questions. But before I do that, tell people the best way to connect with you and what your call to action would be for this show and to be a part of Marissa Feinberg's exciting, bold new world and ventures.
Oh, my gosh. Well, anyone can email me anytime. And thank you, because I would be honored to connect with anyone who is listening to the show, who has any ideas or wants to share what they're doing. You know, I'm always interested in hearing and being on the pulse of what's happening. So anyone can email me. My email address is Marissa, MARISSA@greenspaceshome.com. You know, if you follow me on Twitter, I'll follow you back. I have a pretty active Facebook page. If you just look for Marissa Feinberg, and you can follow me there, and I follow a lot of people publicly as well. You can follow my public updates. But essentially, just if you're interested, I guess the biggest thing right now is I'm trying to get more people to test Flux in their own shared workspaces and collaborative environments, whether they're cafes, schools, universities, libraries, any way that any sort of environment where people want to improve connection and where people want to improve their productivity. I'm happy to send them one. If they go to Flux.com and sign our manifesto, I'll send them one for free.
Awesome. That's amazing. Okay, yeah. We have 1 minute left, and I have to do a little shout-out, forward promote next week's show. And you will be happy to hear that next week I am interviewing Patrick Bradley, who is the Whole Foods president for the Southern Pacific region, which is the largest region for Whole Foods in the country. It's exploding, and Patrick came up through the ranks, so I'm very excited to have him. I encourage everybody to stay connected with me, because I bring people like Marissa Feinberg right into your listening space. Marissa, I can't wait to meet you. Make it a great green day, everybody, and thank you for being a part of Mrs. Green's World.
Thank you so, so much for having me. It's been such an honor. I love Mrs. Green's World. I can't wait to follow it in the future and listen to everything else you're doing right now.
Thank you. You get that last word.